Okay, so hopefully we have some better sound now. And yes, don't worry, that's just the batteries. Okay, so this morning, yes, that's much better. Thank you, Lydia. We're looking at Peter's vision. So we're going through the New Testament with 40 different stories highlighting as we go. And today we get into Peter's vision. And the hand sign we have for Peter's vision is we're going to put our hands up like this. And you remember, something like a sheet comes down from heaven, doesn't it? And so that's our sign, Peter's vision. Okay, so shall we just go through as far as we've gone. We're starting there at the beginning on the screen. And we do Greece, language, Israel, hopes, Rome, roads, birth, baptized by John, tempted by Satan, second birth, woman at the well, rejection, selection, parables, miracles, testimony of Peter, transfiguration, counting the cost, seeking the lost, Lazarus raised, Zacchaeus praised, triumphal entry, temple cleansing, Last Supper, prayed, betrayed, tried, denied, crucified, resurrected, ascended, Spirit, community, servant leaders, Stephen, persecution, Philip's preaching, Paul's conversion, Peter's vision. Okay, well done. So, our Bible reading, and I would like a hand for, we got several Bible readings, Acts 10, verses 1 to 8 to begin with. So, could I have a volunteer to do some reading, please? Thank you, Bruce.
At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror and said, What is it, Lord? He said to him, Your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him. And having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa.
Thank you, Bruce. Okay, so I titled this bit Cornelius's Vision. And Cornelius was a Roman centurion, as Bruce read there. So that meant he was in charge of 100 soldiers. And his job was to keep peace in an occupied country. Not an easy task, I imagine. But I guess he was a good, humble man. He lived in Caesarea on the coast, Mediterranean coast of Israel. And so this is some pictures of Caesarea when Jill and I were there a few years ago. It's an amazing place. There's loads and loads of Roman stuff there. And so it was a big centre back, I imagine, when Cornelius was there. And so this is part of a back of the amphitheatre. And then the next one shows us the front, which is very, looks quite modern, doesn't it? Because they actually still use this. So this amphitheatre has been in use for 2,000 years. It's quite incredible. They've obviously helped it up a bit there. These were the public toilets, very public. but they were civilised to that extent. And the next one is going to show us, yeah, this is where they filmed Ben-Hur, evidently, with the chariot races. And the Mediterranean's out there in the background. And so you can imagine these horse and chariots charging around there at great speed, especially if you've seen the film. And this is an aqueduct carrying water across this little valley here. Loads of stuff there when the Romans, you know, they put a lot of effort into building all this stuff. And there was also Caesar's palace, and which included a freshwater pool going out into the Mediterranean, and loads of stuff there. It was quite impressive. But verse 2 tells us that Cornelius was a devout man who feared God along with everybody else in his household. And so he's interesting. He's a Roman man, but he's come to Israel, and he is being devout towards Israel's God, you know. And so it's quite an interesting feature of a Roman person to do that. And he gave generously to the poor, and he prayed regularly to God. So he was an important Roman centurion living in an occupied country, but he was caring for the local people. His heart was there where he was working. So quite a humble guy. And Cornelius must have seen something about the Jewish God Yahweh, and that he was worth following. And so he was doing his best there to follow Yahweh. But one day Cornelius had a vision, and he saw an angel of God coming towards him. "Cornelius," the angel called. At this, Cornelius is terrified, but he says, what is it, sir? And he says, the angel says, "Your prayers to God and the gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering." And he's saying that God has been seeing what you've been doing. And, you know, in our lives, we can often be trying to do the right thing, trying to get it right. But we kind of think, is it really worth it? Nobody's watching. Nobody's taking any notice. Nobody's saying thank you. And yet we put a lot of effort into a few things. And yet this angel is telling Cornelius that God has seen what he's been doing. God has heard his prayers. God has seen his giving to the poor. And God has accepted it as an offering. And so, you know, we may not get any thanks from our employers. We may not get any thanks from our children. You know, we put lots of stuff in there. But God sees what we do. And that's not a jibe at you two. God has seen that we can put a lot of effort into things of this world, which serve the kingdom, and it's the way we should be living. And so don't stop doing those things just because you feel nobody's seeing, because God is seeing. And in fact, I believe we're putting treasure in heaven through a lot of those deeds, if they're godly deeds. So that leads us on to this verse. Should we just say this one together? "Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there where your heart will be also." And so the angel has a message for Cornelius, and he's quite straightforward. "Send some men to Joppa. Find a man named Peter. He's staying with Simon the tanner, and he lives near the sea." So it's fairly straightforward, isn't it? Straightforward message. Do that. And quite specific instructions. A man named Peter, and we know where Peter's living at the moment. Joppa's about 30 miles away from Caesarea. So it's a little distance. You know, it's like here to Bath or here to the south coast. You know, it's a little distance. And I don't know how they get there, whether they walk on a camel or a horse, but they go. And it's not actually any mention of why they need to do it, what the purpose is, but Cornelius is seeing his vision. He's believing God is speaking to him. And so he thinks it's important. And so he gets these two servants and a soldier, and off they go to Joppa. Like I say, a little trip, 30 miles away. And that takes us nicely to our next reading, Acts 10, verses 9 to 20, where Peter now has a vision. And could I have a reader, please? Yeah, thank you, Rosemary. You can read your own Bible if it's easier.
"The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. And he became hungry and wanted something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descended, descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. Now while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them."
Thank you, Rosemary. Cornelius's men are on their way to find Peter down there in Joppa. But Peter, meanwhile, was hungry. But instead of hanging around the kitchen, you know, like you do, he went up on the roof to pray. So there's a... If you're feeling hungry and you know the meal's not quite ready, there's always a roof you can go on and pray. Peter fell into a trance, and but he wasn't having just odd dreams because he'd eaten too much cheese the night before or something like that. But in some way he was still conscious, but clearly saw something, some kind of vision by God. And so we need to be thinking something supernatural here is going on. God is communicating a message to Peter in an interesting way. And verse 11 says, he saw the sky open. And this is an interesting phrase that we can see in other places in the Bible. For example, Ezekiel 1 verse 1, Ezekiel sees the sky open. He sees visions of God and he writes them down in his book. Matthew chapter 3 verse 6, when Jesus was baptized, he comes up out of the water and heaven's opened. And a dove comes down and says, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." I don't think it was a dove that said it. It was a voice, God obviously saying it. Acts 7:56, Stephen is being stoned and he's getting hammered pretty well. But he looks up and he sees the heavens open and Jesus he sees standing next to God's right hand side. And he's been telling him how Jesus is the saviour of the world. And he's saying, "Look, there is Jesus. He's right there now. Cannot you see it? Can't you see it? Surely you can understand these things." The sky was opened. And again, here, Peter has a vision and the sky is opened. And so it's an interesting little phrase. And I can't say what it is, but we often hear, you know, we often think heaven is up there. But scientists tell us that space goes on forever. And so we're kind of a bit strange. I guess there's plenty of room up there. But heavens were open, and it implies to me that these guys saw a new dimension. The sky is parted and a new dimension is seen because God wants these people to see something that they don't normally see. So a new dimension is seen where God is communicating something really important. And Peter sees this large sheet or something like it coming down from heaven with all kinds of animals on it, some clean, some unclean. It said common on the screen there. And this was clean or unclean according to the Jewish law. You remember there's stuff they should eat and there's stuff they shouldn't eat. And it's all there. And the voice says, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter reacts quite strongly. "No, Lord, I've never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure or unclean." So Peter's quite clear. He's not going to eat any of this stuff. It's unclean. He knows that's wrong according to Jewish law. But the voice says something really, really radical. "Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean." And so something big is happening here, and God is making it plain to Peter what it is. And this happens three times before the sheet is taken back to heaven. And so it's not just a quick blip. Oh, that was strange. What was that? You know, three times it's reinforced. And Peter is sure of what he's seen and heard. And interestingly, this all going on while Peter is hungry, waiting for his dinner. Perhaps another dimension to the way God is speaking. He's using his stomach to speak as well as his eyes and head and ears. Verse 17 tells us that Peter is very perplexed about the whole thing. What could it mean? It wasn't obvious to him. It says there, verse 17, now, while Peter was inwardly perplexed. I don't know what outwardly perplexed looks like, but Peter was inwardly perplexed. He didn't know. It wasn't obvious to him. And so he had to give this some thought. But just at that very time, the men that Cornelius had sent arrived at the house. And then the Holy Spirit says to Peter, three men have arrived to see you. Go with them because I have sent them to you. Now, this is a separate thing, I believe, than the vision that Peter has. And so God is communicating to Peter through this vision, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just comes and says something in what I can only imagine is straightforward language to Peter. And so God is working in two different ways here to speak to Peter. And he's telling Peter, these guys have arrived to see you. Don't worry about it. Just go with them. And it'll be a great blessing when you do. And so Peter has this vision of seeing the heavens open and a sheep being lowered down, thinking about what it meant. And then the Holy Spirit clearly speaks to him. And so, for us, now I don't really think I've seen visions. I wouldn't really want to say that I felt the Holy Spirit clearly say some words to me. But I do feel that God has spoken. And through his, we know God speaks through his word. And that's a really big way. It's clear that if we understand that correctly, we know what God is saying there. But there are other times when God uses people to come along and to say something to us. And maybe to convince us of our sin or of our need of a saviour. And there's our testimony book at the back. I should have had it here to wave around at you, but it's at the back there. And in there you'll find people's testimonies. And they may well say that God has spoken to them in a certain way. And God has made himself, revealed himself in a certain way. And so it's really interesting to hear about those testimonies. We can relate to them a little easier perhaps than what we can to Peter and Cornelius. Acts 10, we've got the verses 21 to 29 this time. I wonder, Bridget, are you up for this? Thank you.
And Peter went down to the men and said, I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for your coming? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say. So he invited them in to be his guests. The next day he rose and went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, Stand up, I too am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I asked then, Why you sent for me?
Peter goes with the men and he sees Cornelius. First thing Cornelius does is bow down and worship Peter. But Peter won't accept his worship. He knows that worship belongs only to God. But Peter tells Cornelius to get up. Come on, we're both human beings here. And let's be sensible about this. Cornelius had gathered a small crowd around to hear what Peter had said. which is quite interesting. He knows that's faith to do that. You know, my men have gone off to get Peter. Peter's going to tell us something really important. And he shows he's believing that by getting people to come around to listen when Peter gets there. And so Peter says in verse 28, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean." So interestingly now, Peter's moved from the vision of the animals on the sheet. He's moved to people being unclean. So God has shown Peter here that anybody can be a follower of Jesus. It's not just for the Jews. And this, as we know, is highly significant at that point, because all the Jewish people had always been told, you do not go and you mix with the other people. You must be separate so that you'll stay devoted to Yahweh and follow him alone and not be tempted into the pagan gods. And so it's an incredibly significant time in the Bible. And Peter is heading this up, this change of outlook. And so we go on into our next reading now, Acts 10, 34 to 43. And I wonder if we could have another reader. Thank you, Lois.
So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I understand what God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen as God's witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name."
And so Peter explains the gospel to Cornelius and his household. And so we're seeing a change from Cornelius had a simple belief in God, Jehovah, God, Yahweh. And now he's able to believe in Jesus because Peter is explaining that to have peace with God, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ because of what he's done on the cross of Calvary. And so Peter told Cornelius and his household about how Jesus had lived and was put to death on the cross. He told them how God raised Jesus to life again and that Jesus will judge the living and the dead, and that we need to believe in him to receive forgiveness for our sins. And so Cornelius, we see, is hearing all about Jesus now. He had a belief in God, but he didn't know about Jesus. He needed to know about Jesus to understand about forgiveness of sins. And so we're carrying on now. We've got Acts 10, 44 to chapter 11, verse 4. Lots of readings today. Who are we going to pick on? Barry, are you able to read this for us? Thank you.
While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter began and explained it to them in order.
And so the people listened and repented of their sins, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then we see right at the end there, Peter goes back to Jerusalem eventually. But the other apostles criticize him. They say, "Hey, come on, what's happening? You're going to these Gentile houses. We know that's not the Jewish way." And so Peter tells them all what's happened in this situation. So it's just one more read in Acts 11, 5 to 18. Bridget, are you able to do two runs? Thank you.
I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey, and reptiles and birds of the air, and I heard a voice saying to me, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But I said, "By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth." But the voice answered a second time from heaven, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. And behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were, sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen the angel stand in his house and say, "Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household." As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? When they heard these things, they fell silent, and they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life."
Last line there, isn't it? To the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life. And we wouldn't be here if that hadn't happened, I imagine. And so Peter is in Jerusalem now, and he is saying, "Look, I spoke to these people and the Holy Spirit came upon them just like it happened at Pentecost with us." And this is a key thing for them. You know, in that day of Pentecost, we know, was a very dramatic day for the apostles. They had been told to go to Jerusalem and wait there for the Holy Spirit, and they'd done that, and God brought the Holy Spirit upon them. And now the Holy Spirit had come upon these people in Cornelius's house, and so Peter was seeing the same thing happening, and he's saying God treated them as he treated us, so they can believe as well. And Peter says, "Who was I to stand in the way of God? This is not my plan, this is God's plan." And this is quite amazing. And so the believers were also baptized. And you remember back when Dee got baptized in Sydney, it was a wonderful day, you know. And if you've not been baptized yet, we would love for that to happen again. So have a word with me or Barry, and we can organize that. And so we just go through our hand signs once more, and then I'll do a bit of a summary, a very brief summary, and then we'll have the communion service. So we do Greece, language, Israel, hopes, Rome, roads, birth, baptized by John, tempted by Satan. Second, birth. Woman at the well. Rejection, selection. Parables, miracles. Testimony of Peter. Transfiguration. Counting the cost, seeking the lost. Lazarus raised, Zacchaeus praised. Triumphal entry, temple cleansing, Last Supper, prayed, betrayed, tried, denied, crucified, resurrected, ascended, Spirit, community, servant leaders, Stephen, persecution, Philip's preaching, Paul's conversion, Peter's vision. Okay, so we're getting towards our the end of the New Testament there, aren't we? But to summarize, it's definitely the case that the Lord organized for Cornelius and Peter to meet up. And as a result of that, they were both changed. Cornelius becomes a Christian, and Peter realizes that Christianity is not just for the Jews, it's for everybody. And so God can and does send people along to help us in our understanding of the Bible and in following him. And we can go to places apart from church. We can have Christian conferences. We can go to find out more about how God is working in our own lives and in other people's lives. So it's always a good thing to do that. Jill and Brian are doing that this weekend down in Devon. But God can send people to us as individuals to help us in our Christian lives. You know, we're all doing our lives for the first time. We haven't had a practice run. You know, we may have done certain things before, but we were younger then. And now we're a bit older and we're a bit less confident, or we're a bit something else. And we think, hang on, I don't quite think this is quite the same. You know, we don't get the practice run. And so we need help. And God will give us help, maybe through other people sometimes. God will speak to us. But we need to be seeking him. And an old memory verse like this one, should we just say this together? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Matthew 6, verse 33. So we've got to be seeking God. And when we're seeking God, we can be listening for God, what he's saying to us. And so that's key. And we can ask other Christians, what do you think about this? How do you think God speaks to you? Tomorrow is a new day with new challenges. How are we going to cope? But we can be sure that we can trust God to give us what we need to face the day. We can listen to what God says to us. And we can, in the morning, we can say, Lord, speak, your servant is listening. And so, to lead us into communion, we could just sing 966, which is Wonderful Grace that gives what I don't deserve.